Good morning. Welcome to The Conversation. Today we celebrate Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the show. We celebrate her life, her tireless advocacy for human rights, her recognition that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice, and her legacy that will inspire both women and men for generations to come. After 27 years serving as a justice on the Supreme Court, Ginsburg passed at age 87 on September 18, 2020, on the eve of Rosh Hashanah. According to Rabbi Richard Jacobs, one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah suggests that very righteous people would die at the very end of the year because they were needed until the very end. Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Graham. I'll be your host for the next hour. 503-325-0010 if you would like to share comments or thoughts about the life and the work of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If you're calling to make a donation to the station, we appreciate it very much. We're getting closer and closer to our goal for our fall pledge drive. But let's wait until 10 o'clock for those kinds of calls. Between 9 and 10, it's just you and me and 91.9 on the airwaves. We do have our first caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Ed.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, just one quick comment. Can I digress from Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Of course you can.
Okay. I just encourage folks to read last Thursday's editorial by our Sheriff Matt Phillips about Black Lives Matter. I thought it was very thoughtful and really well done. And it would, you know, kind of tickle everybody's conscience a little bit. So if you haven't read it, read it.
Say that again. It was the letter to the editor, or is it an editorial?
Well, it was a guest editorial.
Guest editorial.
On last Thursday's edition of the Historian.
And it was from?
From Matt Phillips, sheriff, our local county sheriff.
Well, that's a good suggestion, Ed. Thank you so much, and I hope that folks listening will take that opportunity.
Okay.
Have a good one. 503-325-0010. I hope I get to hear from Carol Newman this morning. I bet she has something to say about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm going to start by reading a couple of quotes. I had some assistance putting this material together. Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been known to say, "I ask no favor for my sex. All I ask of our brethren is that they take their feet off our necks." Another quote, "If you have a caring life partner, you help the other person when that person needs it. I had a life partner who thought my work was as important as his, and I think that made all the difference for me." Here's a quote about feminism. "Feminism, I think the simplest explanation, and one that captures the idea, is a song that Marlo Thomas sang, Free to Be You and Me. Free to be, if you were a girl, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, anything you want to be. And if you're a boy, and you like teaching, you like nursing, you would like to have a doll, that's okay too. That notion that we should each be free to develop our own talents, whatever they may be, and not be held back by artificial barriers, man-made barriers, certainly not heaven sent. People ask me sometimes, when will there be enough women on the court? And my answer is, when there are nine. People are shocked, but there'd been nine men, and nobody's ever raised a question about that. We live in an age in which the fundamental principles to which we subscribe, liberty, equality, and justice for all, are encountering extraordinary challenges, but it's also an age in which we can join hands with others who hold to those principles and face similar challenges. Couple more quotes, and then we'll get into a little bit more about Ruth. "I am a judge, born, raised, and proud of being a Jew. The demand for justice runs through the entirety of the Jewish tradition. I hope, in my years on the bench of the Supreme Court of the United States, I will have the strength and the courage to remain constant in the service of that demand. And the final quote for the moment is, "It's not women's liberation, it's women's and men's liberation." So what did she mean by that? Give me a call, 503-325-0010. Here's a little bit of information about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg died last Friday, she left behind not just decades of laws that empower women, but also a historical role model of what women can become. She was a champion for women's rights long before she ever reached the Supreme Court, and was only the second woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court after Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Ruth was the daughter of Jewish immigrants born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, on March 15, 1933. Ginsburg earned her bachelor's degree at Cornell University and married Martin D. Ginsburg, becoming a mother before starting law school at Harvard, where she was one of the few women in her class. Ginsburg transferred to Columbia Law School, where she graduated first in her class and eventually began teaching at Rutgers and then at Columbia. In 1972, the ACLU created a women's rights project and hired Mrs. Ginsburg as its first director. It was under the ACLU project's auspices that she carried out her Supreme Court litigation strategy to persuade the justices that official discrimination on the basis of sex was a harm of constitutional dimension, otherwise known as the Equal Rights Amendment. And equal rights to Ginsburg meant the freedom of both sexes, men as well as women, from the roles that society had assigned them, and to harness the Constitution to break down the structures by which the state maintained and enforced those separate spheres. Before she became a judge, she argued six sex discrimination cases between 1973 and 1978 before the Supreme Court, winning five. In 1980, President Jimmy Carter appointed Ruth Bader Ginsburg to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. She served there until she was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court in June of 1993 by President Bill Clinton, which was confirmed in a 96-3 vote on August 3. When Judge Ginsburg stood with Mr. Clinton in the Rose Garden for the announcement of her Supreme Court nomination, she spoke of her mother. "I pray that I may be all that she would have been had she lived in an age when women could aspire and achieve, and daughters are cherished as much as sons," she said. Once she reached the court, Ginsburg continued to fight for equal protection under the law, including parental rights, abortion rights, civil rights, separation of church and state, gender equality, same-sex marriage, and the rights of workers. She was the third woman to administer an inaugural oath of office, the first Supreme Court justice to officiate at a same-sex wedding, and remained an outspoken advocate for the Me Too movement. She often pointed out that placing women on a pedestal or legislation designed to benefit or protect women can have the opposite effect. Generalizations about the way women are, estimates of what is appropriate for most women, no longer justify denying opportunity to women whose talent and capacity place them outside the average description. She was often shy in public life, describing her years as the solitary female justice as the worst times. She recalled in a 2014 interview, "The image to the public entering the courtroom was eight men of a certain size, and then this little woman sitting to the side. That was not a good image for the public to see. But that shyness disappeared when she had a job to do, especially when that job was to persuade the Supreme Court that the 14th Amendment's guarantee of equal protection applied not only to racial discrimination, but to sex discrimination as well. Inherent differences between men and women, we have come to appreciate, remain cause for celebration, but not for denigration of the members of either sex or for artificial constraints on an individual's opportunity. Any differential treatment, she emphasized, must not create or perpetuate the legal, social, and economic inferiority of women. That's all I've got for you on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and now it's your turn. This is a live call-in show, and we want to hear from you. Has there been an impact in your life that you can point to the work of Ruth Bader Ginsburg? And I think that we can also expand this conversation into how she gets replaced on the court and when. I know that that's a hot topic right now. But largely the point of this show is to celebrate her life and her work. And we all hope for the best for what the Supreme Court looks like for the next 30 or so years. 503-325-0010. Check in. You're welcome to digress in Ed Johnson fashion as well. Here's a bit of music. If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Conversation on KMUN. It's our live call-in show, and today's topic is Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, celebrating her life and her work. We've had a call come in, so I'd like to welcome you to the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Graham. This is Jim.
Good morning, Jim.
This is a very interesting time for us to be alive in this country. We're watching almost a denigration of what passed for freedom for quite a number of years. I find it exceptionally problematic, the hypocrisy of the Republicans in their holding up the Merrick Garland thing for Obama, and then rushing, stumbling, falling over themselves to get this one in. Is still, it's not exactly the same kind of lame duck situation. We're not exactly sure whether the Trump will be a lame duck, although there is a certain segment of the population that, forgive the expression, on bended knee, hope that that happens, that he's gone. But yet, it seems reasonable, at least reasonable, to wait until after the election to even consider a replacement for Ruth Ginsburg.
Well, that seems to be the precedent.
Well, I do understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to pack it with another religious nut so that they can take more rights away from more people. And the idea that we had separation of church and state written into the Constitution is just being totally ignored. It's just intriguing that our fearless leader at one point denigrates the Constitution as a thing that's antiquated in the way of his ability to lead our country, and then turns right around when this happens. They just can't wait to jump on the Constitution, giving him the obligation to appoint the replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So I don't know. I hope I'm not the only one that is just astonished by the total hypocrisy of these people that are pulling this off.
Well, we'll see if it even gets pulled off. The thing that comes to my mind is the concept of checks and balances in all of this. And that's what the judicial branch does, as well as the legislative and the executive. They provide checks and balances. But then even within those bodies, I think that the two-party system theoretically provides checks and balances.
I think the emphasis there is theoretical. you know, we'll have to wait and see how that shakes out. But those are my concerns, and I'm sure that they're shared by other than just me. But with that in mind, I think I'll beg off and listen to the rest of the show. But I, again, thank you for doing these weekly things, and they're, you can just about bet I'll be calling about everything. At this age, I have an opinion on everything.
Well, I appreciate it, Jim.
All right, Graham, take care.
We're talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and so I'm not a political scientist, far from it. And so maybe someone who is more educated than I am can speak to what extent the Supreme Court is really supposed to even be a partisan body. Is that something you can speak to? 503-325-0010. I am looking for an education on what the Supreme Court is supposed to look like, how it's supposed to act. Is it a politicized body? Is it a partisan body? Or is it part of the greater checks and balances system of our fair democracy? 503-325-0010. I would like to hear from some women callers. And I'd like to hear more about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Has she been an inspiration to you in some way? Is there anything that you've learned from her work? Is there anything that you disagreed with? All opinions welcome. This is a conversation where we can chat without getting overheated, and there is some accountability, unlike on Facebook. But we do try to keep it civil. 503-325-0010. Call in with your tribute to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I can see that I'm going to have to work a little harder to get the gears turning today. Here's another question for you. Ruth said that there will be enough women on the Supreme Court when there are 9. She said that that caused shock from people that she would say that to. But what do you think? Is 9 too many? Should there always be an equal number of men and women on the court, which is hard when there's 9. But what would equity, as far as sex and race, look like on the Supreme Court? 503-325-0010. Looks like we've got another call. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Am I on?
That's you. Yep. Hi, welcome.
It's Paul. Hey, you know, the only thing I can say is I really concur with the comments that I think it was Jim earlier. What I feel right now is that our democracy is really at stake. It's been challenged in a very, very big way. And I think Justice Ginsburg was such a leveling force in preserving our democracy. Now she's gone. What's in front of us? God only knows. That's my comment. And Graham, I so much appreciate your shows, as I do many of the shows on KMUN. Keep going.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 503-325-0010. Mourning the passing of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, celebrating her life and her work today, give us a call. 503-325-0010. Our next caller is on the air. Hi, go ahead.
Hi. We have lost a voice to us who want equal rights.
We're on a little delay, okay. So just listen.
Oh, okay.
Listen on
every
your phone, okay?
Every single woman that I know went around and just cried because we now know that there's no advocates for us, and we are going to lose our right to do what we would like with our body. Trump is packing the courts with people that are all slanted to his view. We need to figure out how. I don't see any check and balances. William Barr acts like a henchman for him. I don't see how we can take back and get our rights back with what he's doing. I wish we could figure this out.
This is the kind of call that I was hoping to receive today.
Well, sometimes when you're talking, I feel like I'm going to be rude by calling, so I wait.
I'm just talking, waiting for the phone to ring.
I know.
Just filling time. Well, I'm an advocate, and it sounds like, you know, the rumors that I hear is that the plan is to place a woman on the court.
But not one that wants women to have rights. All these evangelicals, are they going to adopt all these children that women are going to be having to have?
Well, I think that this is just a really good time to remind everyone to make sure you're registered to vote and to vote.
And you've thought, then pay attention to what's really going on, because Portland's being listed as an anarchy city. He's attacking any place that stands up for their democratic rights. He would love to be a dictator, and we have to pay attention because that's what he's up to.
Well, as the manager of a media organization, it feels a little strange to say that, to me, media is so much of the problem, creating so much inflammation. And it's difficult, too, when casting your vote. You don't get to vote for Supreme Court justice. But it's just a reminder to vote anyway, because it's still important.
And do you think he's going to leave office? If he's been saying that, you know, the only way he'd lose is if everything's rigged. Which, of course, we know that's true, but he's attacking mail-in voting because he knows that everybody could really vote. So we have serious issues ahead of us.
I think he's a talker, but I don't think he has the capacity to pull off essentially a military coup. Do you?
I'm afraid he does, because he's got all these extreme whites that are already running around talking about safeguarding the polling booths, and I'm afraid he's up to that.
Well, and that's,
why is he picking on Seattle and New York and Portland as anarchy states? What does that mean? He can send the federal marshals to us?
I think he's trying to withdraw funding from those cities or states. Is that right?
Yes, that's what he says.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Everything I'm paying attention to, he's working towards dictatorship. That's what he was like. That was exactly what he was like. Him and all his extremely wealthy people that he has in the White House, who he's handed out lots of our tax dollars to in the guise of, you know, helping after the COVID. And why is he ignoring 200,000 people have died?
I know you're not asking me. It's rhetorical, right?
It's rhetorical, yeah. And we all
because
have to worry
I don't
about
know.
What he's up to. And there's nobody in the Supreme Court to stand up for people. Everybody, not just Republicans.
So something that comes up for me often is the effectiveness at this point of the two-party system. Do you think that that's not the problem, part of the problem?
I think it's part of the problem. I don't think we should have to choose whether we want to be Republican or Democrat.
I think
we should be able to have more options of independent people and not have all the money go to one party or the other, because look what it's cost. Nothing but bickering goes on. Nothing seems to be getting done in our government anymore.
Well, and there was a lot of language about getting the money out of politics, getting the, you know, campaign finance reform.
I think that's good. When they ask if you'd like to donate $3 to the campaign fund, and that be it, because we have too much dark money backing people that we don't, you know, we don't know where it's even coming from, but we know that it's for people that are hoping to vote. Cast the money for them. You know. So I think getting money out of politics would be really good. Because every time you listen to it, you hear how much money somebody's raised. Well, what has that got to do with their ability to govern?
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess that's all I have to say.
I saw.
I'm glad you guys have this program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your call.
Okay.
I watched an interview recently where the interviewee was talking about candidates for president, and he really appreciated Andrew Yang as a candidate for his ideas and his energy, and not to make an ageist comment, but for his youthfulness and his desire to create new systems and work outside of the normal boundaries and things. And he was lamenting that Biden was chosen as the Democratic nominee before the pandemic hit, because it's like we need a different kind of leader right now. We need someone with a lot of energy, a lot of charisma, a lot of ideas, and a lot of follow-through. 503-325-0010. We're talking about the implications of the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court. We're celebrating her life and her work. And we've got another caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Am I on the air?
You are.
Hi. This is very hard for me because it's a very sad time. But I admire Ruth Bader Ginsburg because she was able to have people listen to another point of view. And she was able to have the smarts to overcome obstacles. When they wouldn't hire her as a lawyer, she was determined, and she just didn't back down. She found a way through, and she was able to overcome. And I think that that's something I really admire about her. And I think we're all going to miss her an awful lot.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. If you're listening, I hope that you would never let your emotions stop you from calling the show. You can take all the time you need. We've got nothing but patience here. And your opinion matters. Your thoughts matter. And if you have to express them through tears, that is quite all right with us. I appreciate that last caller's bravery. A quote from Ruth: I tell law students, if you're going to be a lawyer and just practice your profession, you have a skill. But if you want to be a true professional, you will do something outside yourself, something that makes life a little better for people less fortunate than you. We have another caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Graham. It's Janine. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good, Janine.
Well, I'm driving to work, and I was thinking about all of the implications of RBG. And I wanted to encourage every single history teacher in this country to please devote some classes to your students to teach about this lady. If you haven't done it already, just do it. And I am hoping that young ladies, young women, I just hope that they have a clue as to what we went through in the 60s and 70s. I can tell you just some examples. In the early 70s, when I moved to New Orleans, the want ads would be separate. You know, job ads for women, jobs for women, jobs for men. You couldn't, if you waited tables, you couldn't work in a restaurant in the evening because the men got the better shifts. They weren't driving streetcars. They weren't working at Café Du Monde. Women were mostly in the back of the house. If you filled out an application, they wanted to know if you were engaged. They wanted to know if you planned to have children. And I once interviewed for a fast food chain for a management position and was surrounded by a bunch of suits, all trying to intimidate me, who said clearly, this was maybe 1974, we don't like women in management because they can't handle the stress. So things have changed, and I hope young women appreciate that or educate themselves and don't take for granted what you do have, because it can go snap pretty quick.
Well, I appreciate your call to history professors, and I think they have quite a quite a job to do in the next couple decades.
Yes, they do. And I know my nephew in Palm Springs will be taking care of it. He teaches history, and I know he's already got a class going on this subject, and they should all be doing it. Forget the books. Teach your kids. Teach these young people now.
Yeah, and really focus on the people like RBG, who want to do something that makes life a little better for people less fortunate than themselves.
Exactly. So, I thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for the call, Janine.
All right. Bye-bye.
Catch Janine on Evening Jazz every other Wednesday, I believe. If you're just tuning in, it's 9:30. This is KMUN. You're listening to The Conversation. It's a live call-in show, locally produced, local voices. There's three open lines. Don't hesitate to call. Let us know why the work of Ruth Bader Ginsburg is meaningful to you. And what do you hope for the future? 503-325-0010. Call and check in. Welcome back to The Conversation. We've got a couple of calls ready to go here, starting off with the first caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
And who would that be?
That would be you.
Oh, good.
Yes, welcome.
Oh, I'm such a fan of this lady. We've been really in mourning in our house. And being a coper, I eventually try to rise to the occasion of trying to emulate or take away some bit of her and to find it kind of within myself a little RBG power bar that will keep me going because she's gone. But you know what? There are a whole bunch of us who've been inspired, and we need to hang on to that for everything we've got and carry it on because a person like Ruth. I mean, people were dressing their children up as Ruth for Halloween, all those adorable little kids with their big glasses and collars. And frankly, I have more faith in people younger than I am most of the time than I do in my own generation. But let's carry it on. We owe it to Ruth. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to all of the women who come after us. Thank you for the time.
Thank you for your call. The last quote I'll read from Ruth Bader Ginsburg today is, Reading is the key that opens doors to many good things in life. Reading shaped my dreams, and more reading helped me make my dreams come true. We have another caller. You're on the air. Go ahead. Good morning.
Hey, Graham, it's Susan. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan.
Thanks for reading that quote about reading. I hadn't heard that one yet.
It's a good one.
I was calling. Yeah, it's a good one. I was calling about the 9 women on the Supreme Court.
Would that be enough for you?
What I wanted to comment on was that the rest of that quote was, nobody questioned when there were 9 men and no women. And so why not 9 women and no men? And I love that kind of thinking. I love that kind of feminism. You know, I've been bound by just the thought of equality being their same numbers and not that broad thinking of the same numbers throughout history. And I really think that, her brand of feminism inspires me to think of that bigger picture. And the other thing I wanted to say about Ruthie was I heard Elizabeth Warren giving a little talk about Ruthie, her friend, and Ruthie was the name of my aunt, my mother's younger sister, and she always called her Ruthie. And at that moment when Elizabeth Warren said that, it just got real for me that, that she had passed and that she was not only, you know, this great woman in the Supreme Court, but also a daughter and a wife and a person who went to the grocery store and bought groceries like my Aunt Ruthie. And I'm really sad because there's so much political stuff about replacing her on the court. And I just feel like we haven't given her the honor and love that such a great person would normally receive when they pass. So tough subject this morning, Graham. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you for giving Ruthie some of that honor and some of that love.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. That is... Let's think about that concept some more. Nine women on the Supreme Court creating real equity. Because you're looking at the historical numbers and not just what an equal number would be in the present. And that, in a way, to me, jumps to that other quote where she insists that this isn't women's liberation, it's women's and men's liberation. And maybe it's liberating for men to not be on the Supreme Court. Maybe it's liberating for men to not see any men on the Supreme Court. But I think that there's a lot of depth to that quote. If women are liberated, men are liberated too. What does that mean to you? 503-325-0010. We've got about 20 minutes left in the show, so lots of time to celebrate Ruth Bader Ginsburg, to appreciate her, to send her love, to honor her. 503-325-0010. It's the number to call. Check in with your community on the conversation. The notorious Carol Newman is on the phone.
Well, you know, it's funny because I missed the beginning of the show. You'll excuse me. The rain forced certain behaviors out here to cover some wood, et cetera, the very welcome rain. But I've been hearing people call her Ruth and Ruthie, and I kind of squirmed because I heard that her clerks, whom she treated as total professionals, never would say, call her anything. As a matter of fact, he even said, and I laughed out loud, he said the R word, Ruth. He said, that's the first time I've ever said that. She was always Justice Ginsburg. And yet, as our callers have said, she was such a human being. It's hard to push her away, especially at this point. For me, and I'm not sure how much you said about her background, but for me, there's a very personal touch because she grew up right down the road from me, not that long ahead of me. She's 11 and a half years older than I am. And We went to the same Hebrew school and synagogue and also the same university. She veered off and went to a different high school, the one where Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer went as well. But she was not a foreign figure. She was very much part of the local culture. And when she was, whenever she talked about the fact that despite her being first in her class, nobody wanted to give her a job. And maybe you mentioned this, but there were three strikes against her because she was female, as we've talked about. She was Jewish, which I'm not sure a lot of our local listeners know what that feels like and felt like in the 40s, but still feels like. Not so much in New York, but certainly in the rest of the country. And she was a mother, which is pretty phenomenal and sets a really good example for so many people who are struggling just to take care of all of the things that families need to take care of. She also married an extraordinary man, and they met at Cornell, also my alma mater, and she actually said, which also caused me to laugh out loud, in an interview she said, parents often, I don't know if she was joking, but this is a true fact, that the ratio at Cornell, she said 4-1, even when I went, it was 3-1, men to women. So if you were looking for a husband, that was a good place to go. However, I don't think that RB at that time was particularly looking for a husband, but she found one. And that relationship is extraordinary. And I haven't heard that talked about as much. I know it was, for her, one of the most important things in her life. But the idea that two people can work together so well in order to make such a difference in this world is extraordinary, and making such a team of it. I have to say that politically, although she's one of my high heroes and always will be, and she greets me every day because her poster, thank you, Rainey Holzman, is sitting on my porch. She didn't make perfect decisions. She made a couple of ones that troubled me greatly in the last number of years. But who she was and how she operated and her joy of life, which is very much from the culture. Everybody, again, she and everyone else talk about her mother telling her to be a lady, but also instilling the importance of life. And so I appreciate that we are paying attention. I have a fabulous album called RBG, Notorious RBG in Song, with songs written by her daughter-in-law, Patrice, published by her son, at James Ginsberg, who has a music company in Chicago called Cedilla, C-E-D-I-L-L-E. Look it up. It's in an opera style, which was her favorite kind of music, but the words are outrageous. They come from her. And some of them are very funny, about stealing an elevator or the letter that was found, she found, that Marty, her husband, had written about another important subject, end of life. I know you may not agree with my decision about quality of life, but know that I love you every day, and I know you will love me. And so in this season, it is the season of renewal. It's the Jewish New Year. She died. Whew, she died on the very first night of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. And it is believed that that righteous people, that happens. And so it's an extra added. We absolutely, of course, did not want her to go. Never, for that matter. This owner in Sansig, Maya the Esrim, she should live till 120. But that she died when she did is very auspicious. And whatever else happens at this point, some ugly stuff coming up, may we all take comfort and courage and strength in her being. So, thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Carol. If you're just joining us, it's The Conversation, live call-in show. It's time to make your voice heard, celebrating and honoring Justice Ginsburg today on KMUN. 503-325-0010. Justice Ginsburg asks us all to do something outside of ourselves, something that makes life a little better for people less fortunate than us. 503-325-0010. Call and check in and be part of the conversation today, won't you? Welcome back to The Conversation, where we're honoring the life and work of Justice Ginsburg, who passed on September 18. We've got another caller. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. I just have a couple of quick comments. I looked up the word ruthless, and it really has to do with cruelty and whatever, but I think we need to be ruthless in our resolve to defeat this creeping fascism that's kind of trying to take over our democracy. So ruthless in our resolve is something I think we can adopt. Secondarily, I kind of take a note of the fact that our democracy has been hinged upon two elder women, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, being 80 years old, and Ruth being 87. And so it says to me that our democracy is so fragile. And yet, look at the strength of these women. These women have been amazing to us. The Dalai Lama said that Western women will save the world. So I guess Western women, we've got to stand up. We got to vote. We got to do everything we can. Never give up, never get in, according to John Lewis. I guess that's it, John. I guess that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you.
And I love the program. Thank you, Graham.
We love you.
Bye.
Powerful stuff. 503-325-0010. Give us a call and check in, won't you? I wonder to what extent the problems that we're facing in our country are mirrored in other countries. There's not a lot of international travel happening these days. And I've seen a quote about the way to cure your racism is to travel. Are we alone in our struggles politically right now? Is this a problem that only America faces? I don't know, but we do have another caller. You're on the air. Go ahead. Good morning.
Hi, is that me?
That's you.
Oh, hang on just a second. I tried to mute the radio, but it didn't work. There we go. Sorry about that.
No problem.
This is Scott, and I don't usually get to call because I'm usually working, as I am right now, but I just wrote this down because we're just talking about the gender balance, how important it is to have women on the Supreme Court, and I agree, but it's immaterial if the ideology leans away from the rights that have already been established. Trump is threatening to nominate a woman who's been vocally opposed to Roe versus Wade, and if it came right down to it, I'd rather see a man in the seat if he was supportive of equal rights as RBG was. I mean, an all-woman court would be fine with me, but it wouldn't help at all if there are all women who are devoted to the government of, by, and for the powerful that the current administration and the likes of Mitch McConnell are representing.
Well, it seems like the issues that you're talking about are not ones that should be bendable or revocable now that they've been established. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, there is the idea of what established law. I mean, that's kind of what the Chief Justice is talking about. Even though I think he's probably more anti rights, but the main thing is that right now everything the president, the Senate, all of these alleged checks and balances aren't checking or balancing anything. They're all leading more towards more power, more money to the people who already have a lot of power and a lot of money.
Well, I'm glad you were able to call in, even though you're at work this morning.
Yeah, and I wanted to share a quote that I really appreciate about from Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And now, of course, I can't find it, but I believe it was something along the lines of, fight for the things that you care about, but do so in a way that this is what I can't remember, to basically make people want to fight with you, on your side, and basically being civil. I mean, her friendship with Scalia was legendary, and frankly, I can't quite understand that, but it's okay. I mean, that was them. And she wanted to be able to get along with everybody, even if she didn't agree with them. And we could use a whole lot more of that right now.
I did find a quote that I forgot to read, which was, if there was one decision I would overrule, it would be Citizens United. I think the notion that we all have democracy that money can buy strays so far from what our democracy is supposed to be. And Citizens United is... concerning campaign finance.
I couldn't agree more. That was one of the most dangerous, damaging decisions that's been made in the last 20 years, I think.
Well, thank you kindly for your call. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's it for now. Sorry, I was a little bit nervous, but sort of calming down now.
Thanks for checking in, and call anytime.
All right. Thanks, Graham.
We have another caller. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Is it me?
It's you. Good morning.
Hi, this is Jessamine. I just want to thank everybody for calling in, especially the women that called in and talked about Justice Ginsburg's life. But I know it's coming towards the end of the show, so I just quickly wanted to mention my thoughts on her advocacy for equality and her quote around women's liberation is not just women's liberation, it's also the liberation of men. And so this idea that equality should not be a threat, and the power that men think that they hold when they're oppressing women or women are not their equal, that is false power. And so it's, we are in much better shape, for lack of a more eloquent way of putting that, when we are equals, when we're on a level playing field, so to speak. And so you can never hold true power if you are oppressing another gender, another religion, another ethnicity. I really encourage people to rethink the definition of power. I was always taught that power is self-reverence, but that's just how I was raised. But I just really want to speak to the importance of the message that Justice Ginsburg brought about equality and the importance of it being both for men and women. She often talked about, you know, when she would fight for women's rights, a lot of the male response that she would get was that, oh, but I place my wife on a pedestal, or I think the world of my daughter. And she really tried to point out that a lot of legislation, and I think you mentioned a quote about this, or ideologies designed to protect women were actually really harmful. So, and again, just really driving that point home of like just asking or demanding to be equals. And so that's all I had to say. Thanks for the show.
Thank you, Jessamine. Getting towards the end of the show, still time to call, 503-325-0010. We do have another caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. You were wondering if other countries are having problems. Look at Belarus. They're trying to get rid of somebody that's put himself in power for the past 26 years. He's not the one they voted for, and there he is. In Germany, there's a lot of uprisings. Our ambassador that went there was an extreme right, and he's got the Nazi thing going, and so there's a lot of disruption in our lot of countries. And if you look at it, it looks like a whole bunch of extreme right people are starting to try and take over the country. Just start looking around and you'll see it. So it's an issue worldwide, not just in our country.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
503-325-0010, getting towards the end of the show here, wrapping things up after an hour of remembering and honoring Justice Ginsburg, who passed last week. If there was one decision she could overrule, it would be Citizens United regarding campaign finance. And she said, I would like to be remembered as someone who used whatever talent she had to do her work to the very best of her ability.